Hello, and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
All right, everyone hopefully has poured their first cup and is ready to go.
Hi there.
Dana, and welcome to our interview subject for today. Jana Cox, our Director of Financial Aid at Santa Rosa Junior College. Woo-hoo. Welcome. And the current CISFA President-elect. In other words, when I get tired of this job, she's going to have to take over. Welcome, Jana.
Oh, thank you so much. You make that sound so exciting, Dennis.
Oh, it is. It's the presidency really is, and you know because you're friends with all of us on the board and all the past presidents and past presidents. It really is kind of up to the president what they want to do. I mean, their showcase thing is usually the conference, certainly. But, you know, I took a different direction this year just because I wanted to do the podcast, and I wanted to do it before we even got into this whole COVID world. So it was kind of a side project, you know. The history of it goes back as far as why it's called What's Brewing, CISFA. You know, Dana would come into my office, use my K-cup machine, round up a couple cups of coffee in the morning, and occasionally we'd banter back and forth like radio people. But, you know, whatever you're going to do is going to be great because, again, you know, it's about working with our fellow financial aid people. And so talking about that, let's do an interview here. What got you into financial aid?
Oh my goodness. So 20 years ago, I was a stay-at-home mom. I was staying home. My husband at the time was in the military. So when he got out, I had to find a job. And I happened to find a job as a front counter person at Chapman University.
Okay.
And the story, that was really the beginning. And it just worked my way up from there. I actually, during the interview, when they were interviewing me for that position, they said, one of the benefits is, you know, you can attend Chapman and your courses are covered. You can get your degree. And I says, I don't even like school. I said, I'll be here forever. Well, needless to say, within like 6 months, I was starting, you know, my education. And when I finished, I was just able to work my way up.
Wonderful.
Through the ranks.
So was the director there at the time, was that Greg Ball?
Yes, it was.
Okay,
it was.
I only know of him a little bit because I had a friend who worked in the financial aid office. Wow, 20 years ago, this might be close. Do you remember a Jim Myers?
You know what, I worked at one of the sites.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, Chapman has the different sites.
That's right.
It was Chapman at the time. So that gets confusing because, you know, you have Brandman.
That's right.
Now. So it's now Brandman instead of Chapman. But I did work with quite a few people, but that was not somebody that I recall working with.
Okay. Guess he's a friend of mine. It was the interesting story there is when I started in financial aid myself back in 95 or so, let's say. I just got out of grad school. I got a temporary full-time job at this Southeast Missouri State University, and he ended up being my grad student. And then as I moved west, him and his wife moved west, and he worked at Chapman for a while there. So, yeah, I know the school. What a great school, too, you know. That's awesome.
Right, right.
So that was your starting point, huh?
That was my starting point, and it's a warning to everybody. If you start in financial aid, you will probably never get out.
That's very true. Dana, right?
Right?
Dana, I mean, that's true for you, too. I mean, think about it. Dana was just this little girl out of high school.
17 years old.
That's right.
Started as a student worker.
Right?
And then off to the world of school and other jobs and right back to the office.
And right on back.
And you're back.
Yeah. It's got a certain draw to it. I mean, it's I think when you start to like what you do, the combination of the working with students, the working with colleagues, the there's some nerdiness to it, certainly. And we have some definitely nerdy types that are deep into the regulations and the policies and the processes. Yeah. I see the hand that go up there, everybody.
That would be me.
Yeah. But yeah,
I like regulations. I like R2T4. I'm one of those.
Oh my goodness.
Because it's so, you know, there's, you really have to look at everything and it's just the detail. I mean, I know I'm the one of the nerdy ones.
No, it's okay. You know, I like SAP. So, you know, it's just one of those things. Luckily someone else in my district likes R2T4. So when it comes to splitting up those topics and kind of covering, making sure our district policies are up to date, I just hang with the SAP stuff. R2T4, wow. I from day one, it's been too complicated for me to truly figure out.
You're a rock star. You are a rock star. Mm-hmm.
And they keep changing the rules on us. I'm like, stop.
Exactly. As soon as you had it almost figured out, then COVID hit. And then they change the rules. But how long did they change them for? We don't know. And goodness, it has been a wild ride just on that. So thinking about COVID, how are things going with your school, your staff, classes and things up there at Santa Rosa?
Oh, goodness. Well, we have made the decision to go online all the way through spring.
Okay.
We're finally getting into the groove of things as far as my team goes. We're starting to figure out how to best meet the students' needs, which was really a huge challenge. I mean, none of us ever worked remote. So, you know, it was really difficult to figure out how to meet the students' needs. And what we're finding is where you'd have people at the front counter, now they're phone calls or emails.
Yes.
So our phone systems are getting backed up. And then our emails are tons of emails. And then you just every time an email goes out from the district saying something about, oh, don't forget about the CARE funding.
Yes.
Our email blows up or our phone blows up. And it's just been a huge transition. But I think, you know, we now have it dialed in. We do daily Zoom meetings for students, you know, one in the morning, one in the afternoon,
okay.
A couple hours at a time. So they're drop-in sessions where students, just like they were coming to the front counter, they can, you know, they drop in. We're able to assist them. We can put them in their own little meeting room and walk them through the FAFSA. We started doing like Tuesday FAFSAs. So if you have need help with your FAFSA, you can come into the that Zoom session. So we're really trying to figure out what the students need. And I think it's, we're finally dialing it in, but you know, we still do go to the campus because there's some of us, you know, when you're running that big process for a big payment, sometimes it's easier just to run it from the campus just because it bogs your home systems down and it
absolutely
slows
I got you
down.
Yeah, in that case we're lucky. Me and Dana, we work at LA Mission College. We're part of the LA district. A lot of that is the kind of stuff that gets ran by our district folks, and so some of those are the ones that are going into the office a little bit more now. Some of our other campuses, I know when I see the directors on our monthly call or in the middle of the week Zooms, some of them are going to the office a little bit more than I do. Just because I don't have to run those big things, luckily. You know, someone downtown is doing it. But I understand. Yeah, you're right. I mean, those are the kinds of things you kind of have to keep an eye on when it comes to all this, you know. But it's good to hear that you guys have made the adjustment. I think, you know, when we listen to our counterparts, and I know later today, Region 7 and 8 are going to meet for a couple hours on Zoom, talk about whatever the new topics are, see how things are going across the way. Most of us has found solutions, you know, it's a little, you know, phones are probably the one area we're a little short on still, because our, you know, when we first started, it was like, you could use Google Voice, and that's because the campus doesn't own any other system to get us through. So not every, you know, phones are kind of thrown to the backwater, but we have virtual counters through a product called Cranium Cafe. I'm not trying to sell anything here, but... You know, that was our way that counseling had already used this product. We were going to latch onto them. And now everyone in student services uses it. So it's a virtual counter during our counter hours. And staff like Dana, because I'm not smart enough to use it, get on there regularly to help students out who have questions and all. But
oh, no. See, I haven't heard a whole lot about Cranium Cafe, so that's really interesting. We may have to go offline and talk a little bit more about that.
Surely. Yeah, I mean, it was something that luckily our counseling department at our school and across the district really was looking at, because they were using a different product for all their appointment bookings and things that didn't quite have what they wanted, and the license was about to expire. So they were told to go look for something else. And this product basically allows a student with a little box on the website mm-hmm. to click into a window, and then they can just chat if they want to chat, or they can do okay. video and audio at the same time. And it's got a closed caption creator and all that to help students who have disabilities in that area. But it's a way then to manage how students can interact, at least with the office, on a front counter kind of basis, mm-hmm. you know, on top of all the other stuff. Yeah.
And I was going to mention there's also a feature where if you find that just the chat is not sufficient for your conversation, you can video chat with them.
Exactly.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So you like open your virtual door.
Right.
And then again, you can either speak with them or see them and speak with them at the same time. And then you can like share your screen. So mm-hmm. if, like they're like completing their FAFSA application or need help completing documentation, you can do that as well.
And it can be secure because the thing is yes. you can limit it just to the one person you're doing it.
Right.
We're using it also for some smaller FAFSA workshops. You know, that was another thing. You're right, Jana. How do you go from when you used to have nice little computer labs and you can bring mm-hmm. the students in? Now we kind of do it a one-on-one type of thing through that too. So,
right.
Yeah. So
well, I'm going to have to really look into that. I don't know if we're using it at all. I don't think we're using it at Santa Rosa.
Oh, well, you know, products like that, I know we're also using Microsoft Teams. It really helps also on the back end because the Teams helps my staff stay together when it's a question about, has anyone seen the fee waiver come in through the email, anyone's email for this given student, mm-hmm. or has anyone interacted with this other student? But Cranium also then allows me, like occasionally Dana will find me when I am logged into Cranium and she's logged in mm-hmm. and we just need to video talk about something, you know?
That's how we use Teams. We use Teams mm-hmm. all the time where we're going back and forth and we ask simple questions. Someone's on the phone with a student. Hey, I'm on the phone with a student. And you can ask it. And we video chat through okay. there. That's kind of like our way of communicating, like going to someone's office. We call them through Teams.
Exactly. I just wish I could get more of my campus to do that. Because I've got some people that are, we just did email etiquette training too, way too late. About right. trying to understand the idea of, you know, email is not text and it's not a phone call. And you should, if you have five questions, I would say send one email instead of five emails. Right. You know, that kind of right. mentality to get across to people.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So that's amazing with the tools we have out there, but it's, you know, it's good to see that we're all got different things coming along in that area. Mm-hmm. Well, this is like a good point here, I think, to do our little musical interlude, and then we're going to move on to our second cup because we're moving along so fast.
All right.
And welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
So this is where we fill up our cups again, everybody. Whatever you're drinking out there, I don't judge. So whatever you're having is fine. And we're into our second part of our interview with Jana Cox, president-elect of CISFA, and of course a financial aid director. But tell us more about what made you run for president? What else have you done? I know I've seen you on the board for so many years. I'm sure you were a regional rep for much of that, but tell us what brought you along into CISFA and what's kept you and what's now made you decide 3 years is really what I want to do as president-elect, president, and past president.
Well, I can totally blame Tamara Shinar for that one.
Okay, fair enough.
I came in as a regional rep, of course, just like you said. I think most of us come in as regional mm-hmm. reps. And it was that phone call, you know, from the chancellor's office or from someone out in the field that says, hey, we have this opening. We think you would be great. And that's how you end up on the board. And of course, you sit there your first meeting and you're like, okay, I don't even know anybody. And it's mm-hmm. really kind of intimidating. But it only takes a day or a couple hours before you kind of get pulled in. They don't let you just sit there and just listen. You know, they want
very
your input.
True.
That's why you're sitting on the board. I ran because I was My arm was twisted. Tamara Shenar and Elizabeth Hilton both encouraged me to run for president and thought that I would be able to make a difference with all the changes going on.
Absolutely.
I've worked not just only at the community college level. I worked as a consultant at some point. So I've seen like a lot of different ways things are done, you know, at the 4-year, at the private, at the public. I've been in and done pre-audits for colleges or come in after an audit. So I've seen the way a lot of people have written, you know, policies and procedures and how things are done. So I think they just thought that I'd be a good person to, you know, give maybe a little different insight to some of the way we're doing things.
Sure.
So they just kind of twisted my arm and I said, all right, I'm not doing it. If I don't get it this time, I'm not doing it. Cause I ran the first time against Tamara.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. And only, and seriously, only because they needed two people to run and they said, just run. I'm like, okay.
Sometimes that does happen in our associations. Yes. I'm not saying we have straw candidates, but occasionally we have that one that you really had to twist the arm on. And at the mm-hmm. same time, almost assure them that, you know, don't worry, the other person is the one that really is running this time. but you should still consider it. And again, it's not to belittle anything, but we want good people. But anyone that has ran, I think, would be great to serve. And we've had mm-hmm. years where we've had two or three people in some positions running. I think it's great to serve on the board. It's good. I'm happy that you're doing it, too. Just because it's good to have a north-south balance in time.
Right.
I think it brings new perspectives to the association. That's why Dana doesn't know it, but Dana is going to be running for something some point here, I know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. We may do the Jana thing, which is you start as a regional rep mm-hmm. for Region 7. Sometimes people forget that you don't have to be a financial aid director to right. be on the board. We have had presidents that have been all kinds of positions. We had one in our district, Calvin Rankin, many, many years ago. He was a financial aid supervisor, like an assistant director. We've got a variety of people at positions running for regional reps, treasurers, secretaries, presidents. Don't let that hold you up. So, Dana, it's coming.
It's oh, boy.
You're next.
Oh, that's goodness. Right.
And I'm with you, Dennis. I mean, I think it's a great opportunity. I don't think people realize, you know, the connections that you make through CISFA when you're, you know, just in general as a whole entire organization is great, but the connections you make when you're on the board and, you know, you can pick up the phone. I mean, I could pick up the phone and call you if I was having an issue with something. Sure. Saying, hey, how are you interpreting this reg? Because we all know the regs are very messy sometimes.
Absolutely.
And it's all up to interpretation. So it's really a great connection. So I would encourage anybody in financial aid to serve on the board at some point, because it's just it's a great experience. And I think you meet some great friends and you have great colleagues out there that are just amazing to work with. So I agree, Dennis.
I'm all with that. I was lucky too, in the sense that when I moved to California after working in Missouri, I got to work straight for Pat Hurley. Pat Hurley, the renowned financial aid director at Glendale Community College and many other things before her, you know, kind of grew up at the time financial aid was starting. So she knew everything, retired, mm-hmm. and then applied her everything to a number of interim positions. But one of her first things was when we were doing regional meetings almost every month down here in Region 7 and 8, we combined the LA and OC area. She would drag me along to those meetings all the time. And so mm-hmm. I started to obviously get to know people. I got to get to know all the directors and a lot of the assistant directors. And at some point shortly thereafter, Beth Asmus, who was the director of financial aid over at College of the Canyons, just over the hill from where I am now, was going to become the president-elect of CISFA. And at the time, she was kind of the founding webmaster for the association. So she talked to Pat and said, Dennis seems to have some, you know, acumen for computery stuff. Boy, were they wrong on that. But would Dennis want to be the webmaster? And so that was my introduction to the association. I did the regional thing. I did the treasurer thing, too, a couple times. And you're right. It's just the ability to meet. And then, you know, you have names with faces and you know a little bit about a person. as far as how they operate their schools. You see the different personalities because, again, they come out as far as how we work with our staff, how we work with each other. There's no two similar people, I think, among the exec board members.
Right. No, I remember sitting at the new directors for the first time. And, you know, it was, you know, the time of Chris Shear and Jackie and Pat. And I used to look up going, I want to be just like them.
Sure. Exactly.
They were like the cream of the crop, right? They were the ones that were really active in CISFA and knew their stuff. And I was like, I want to be just like them. But, and here I am 20 years later.
That's right. See, it comes around, you know, sooner or later. And again, the CISFA stuff, it just, I think it just helps broaden your perspectives on financial aid as far as understanding sometimes like where those regulations come from, you know. And where the state regulations come from, because obviously we're a state organization, we're dealing with the state chancellor's office all the time. We get to know our CSAC, our Student Aid Commission people really well. And you just get to be a lot more ingrained with that. And it's, I think there's a lot of benefits. And we don't want to be scaring anyone away from serving on the board.
No, we want to encourage.
Exactly. And I don't think anything we've said would scare anyone, right, Dana? We're not saying anything scary, are we?
No.
You know what you.
Well, that's good to know.
You know, because again, the positions are sometimes what you make of it. I mean, some, you know, obviously treasurer, you've got to have a little bit of fiscal acumen, so much as you can handle like QuickBooks, and you know how to sign checks and stuff like that. But otherwise, president, secretary, our regional reps, you kind of make it what it is of your own. And move from there on, you know, so it's never, we don't want to scare anyone. It's not a 40 hour a week commitment on top of the probably 40 to 50 hours a week you're doing right now, everybody, but you can make time for it. You know, we make time to do this podcast and I do other emails and contacts throughout the week when it's busier legislative times. Our VP of state issues and our VP of federal issues might be kicking in a little bit more and having some meetings. But otherwise, yeah, I think it's completely manageable if you want to make it so to handle.
Definitely. You're right. It's not like it's a second job. It's busy, but you know, it keeps you in the know on what's going on at the state level and what's going on at the federal level. Yes. And we're one of the few departments within a college that works with both federal and state with the regulations so much. It's really important for us to know that because then we have to cross it over into the other departments and it really just keep us in the know.
Yeah. Very true. Very, very true. Well, we're at that point of the show here. We are going to slowly fade up a little bit of music again and head into our last segment. And here we are. We are into our last segment of the show, our last sip. So everyone hopefully got their last sip in. And we're ready to go. So as you've been pre-warned, Jana, in this last sip segment, as I see you taking your last sip there, me and Dana at the start, we've done these I dare you to segments, so things like I dare you to listen to Thundercat, or I dare you to watch Ozark, or I dare you to read one of Dennis's books behind his head right here about business or higher education or stuff like that. So we leave it open to you. Do you have an I dare you to something segment for us?
Oh,
or selection?
I have something. I have an I dare you to that's kind of embarrassing, but I am a Masked Singer junkie. I really, really enjoy that show. It keeps you guessing and some of the things shock you. I mean, it's an interesting show and it's it may not be for everybody, but I dare you to watch it because it will draw you in. The first time I watched it, I was like, ooh, I'm not really sure, but I watched it the next week and then I watched it the next week and then the people who are kicked off, it's shocking. You're like, wait, that's like a popular singer. How did that happen?
Wow. So maybe that's the whole intrigue of it, to watch. You know, sometimes you want to watch it to see how good people are. But like, I would watch American Idol in the first season or two seasons only, and I didn't watch it all the way through. But I would watch for those particular shows with the segments of the singers that are just horrible. I know it's a gluttony.
No, I know people that did that too, and but see, I used to sing in the choir, so you know I figured in on the worship team at church and all of that. So for me, it's like I wanted to see the really good singers, but the sure. ones that were horrible, I'm like, why did their mama ever tell them they could sing? I just don't understand.
Exactly, it really gets into your psyche about what is in their psyche that made them think that they sounded good. And then they would get a national audience. And well, unless you, it would have to be deep inside your sub psyche that says, mm-hmm. hey, but I'm going to get some TV time because I'm going to be on that one episode where they do all the really bad ones. I don't know.
Right. But you get on TV. That's what's right. important.
That, yeah. You got your five seconds of fame yeah. there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Miss Jenna, right. I'm curious. Are you soprano or alto?
Soprano.
Okay.
Yeah. So are you a singer?
Like you back in the day, yeah, uh-huh. in the choir, a soprano mm-hmm. too. Yeah.
Okay. I could never do the harmonies. I mean, it was for me. I'd like to sing what the melody was instead of trying to do the harmonizing.
Yes. Uh huh.
It was just easier for me. But I also played in the band too. So I'm
okay.
Yeah.
Rock guitar.
So we're old school. We were taught to.
I didn't know that.
Okay. So the way we were taught was whatever song we were going to sing, to listen for the harmonies,
mm-hmm.
so to train our ears, uh-huh, right, to listen for our parts. Yep. Uh-huh.
Well, I started in the band. So, well, I started with piano, and then I went piano, and then do clarinet, and then I wanted to do something different. So I picked up the flute, and then I wanted to play in the jazz band. So I took beginning band for the saxophone and played in the jazz band at the same time. And I was in choir at the same time. So,
wow.
Yeah.
See, I'm just a trombonist. I took the one instrument that doesn't lend itself to any other instrument. You were smart. Flute, clarinet, saxophone, a lot of commonalities. And I really wish I'd known piano as a kid, because I see the kids and the people of my age now that play piano.
We're not kids anymore, Dennis.
I know. That piano skill lends itself out. I mean, you could even be in an 80s band with a synthesizer and you played piano, you're cool because you're making those cool bew, bew, bew sounds, you know?
Yeah. So, I know. Just, but I always thought the trombone was interesting though, because I was like, how do they do that? Like, where are those notes? That and the trumpet, like just three little keys. I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah, brass instruments, it's its own little world there, you know, as far as how to figure out how to play it.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I played trombone through college because I started as a music major, moved to radio, TV, film, which is why I do podcasting now. Find some skills.
And now you're a financial aid director.
Yeah, don't ask me how that happened.
Never go to college to be a financial aid director.
Not at all.
No, that'll be the interview of Dana interviewing me, I guess, at some point.
I like this idea.
Yeah. I like that. I like where this is going.
Yeah, maybe. But at least for today, I think we're just about out of time here as we run into our end. So I want to thank our guest, Jana Cox, President-elect of CSFA and Director of Financial Aid at Santa Rosa Junior College. And I want to thank my co-host, Dana, for joining us today on What's Brewing CSFA. And, of course, thank you, our audience, for tuning in. I expect our audience will grow even larger now.
And, hey, guys, remember to check out the CSFA website at cccsfaaa.org. That's cccsfaaa.org. You will find our Twitter handle on our homepage, so please follow us on Twitter.
For this and all future and past What's Brewing CSFA podcast, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcasts.google.com and search for CSFA. For those using Apple devices, search for CSFA on the Apple Podcasts app. And as always, you can find our episodes at wbccsfa.podbean.com. That's wbccsfaaa.podbean.com. That's pod and bean is one word.
And guess what, everyone? You can send us feedback about the show. So if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcccsfaaa@gmail.com.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dana and myself.
This has been episode number 23, recorded the morning of Friday, September 25th, 2020. Have a great day.
And have a great weekend.